Welcome to Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, sponsored by DS Beverages, the Anheuser-Busch distributor in Paul Bunyan Country, Ace on the Lake on Lake Bemidji's South Shore, and Bonded Lock and Key, the home for Liberty Safes. Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors is also sponsored by Pepsi Nye Bottling of Bemidji, Timberline Sport and Convenience in Black Duck, and Clearbrook Electric. Always a pleasure to have Brian Bro Brosdahl on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. Bro, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So let's, we're going to get into a lot of topics, but I'm going to start with something a little different between you and I, because when I think of Bro Brosdahl, I think of two things, fishing and ice fishing. But
yeah.
I'm going to ask you about hunting. Do you hunt?
I do. Actually, I absolutely love grouse hunting, walking trails. There's so many, and we have such beautiful areas in Minnesota. I just love the surprise of trying to kick up a grouse or two.
How was hunting for you this year?
Grouse was actually really good. Surprisingly, there were lots of them, and I didn't get a chance to go as much because I was busy in the fall. But it was just a blast getting out. And there's pockets for sure where there's just birds everywhere, and then some dry areas too. But and deer season, I like to go the rifle season because then my guiding's done. Bow season would be a little easier, I think, but. Deer season, there's tons of deer. They decided to not move during the day, and I don't have a helicopter, and I it's illegal to chase them with dogs, so I kind of gave up on that.
So not a great deer season for you.
No, and I was kind of fussy too. I wasn't out to take a small one. I wanted to see a little bigger one, but it was sporadic. Some of the neighbors had great opening days and then nothing after that, and then the second weekend there was a big flurry, but I think that that warm-up makes them a little lethargic, I think.
So do you hunt with a certain group every year or kind of on your own?
No, I'm usually on my own, and I'm lucky if I'm even around during deer season. And the last four seasons it's been a deer in 20 minutes. And this season, I was entertaining Paul Nelson's daughter and her husband. Before he passed away, he was talking about if I could bring him over. And they seen lots of deer, nothing they could take. We were no does in our area. We've seen lots of does and smaller bucks. But the big ones were kind of lazy at the time that they were hunting here. And I kind of let them have the hunt, and I went fishing.
Maybe a good idea there. The thing I like about grouse, and I agree with you. I didn't grow up in a hunting family, so I've never really delved into hunting too much. But I think I would prefer the archery deer season, just because I think it's prettier time of year. I just think it's more fun to be out in the woods in the fall than it is once the snow falls and the leaves are all gone and things like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've been slowly. I've been going for the comfort zones. I got stands with heaters in them, and for me, I have a hard time sitting there staring at nothing. So I hope there's something moving around, and because when I'm fishing, there's always stuff. You got your hummingbird to look at fish and all that stuff. But so deer season, if there's animals moving, grouse, something to keep you occupied, I like it. But there's plenty of deer moving around, and in a heated stand, you're okay. Just taking your time. You can seal movement that way. I've done a lot of open stand hunting my whole life, and I'm starting to like the heated stands, but we didn't need them this year.
No, we did not. Hey, one of the things that, from an angler standpoint, that's great about hunting season is it sure opens up the lakes and gives you a lot of privacy out there, and that's one of the things those hardcore anglers absolutely love.
Oh, yeah. When I was actually out on the lakes, And I was on lakes near Bemidji, and I was on lakes as far away as Turtle Lake near Marcel, and I didn't hear very many shots in a day's time when I was out there fishing, so I was kind of glad I was on the lake and not in the woods, because normally during deer season, everywhere up here sounds like a war zone, and I didn't hear that much. It was sporadic, but that just means there's more for next year, and there should be some big ones in. If it continues with a lack of snow, we're going to have a bigger deer herd for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about ice fishing. One of the things we've had this year is absolutely beautiful ice. Great ice-making weather right now. It is smooth. It is flat. Whether you want to do a figure eight or play a little hockey or ice fish, it's been ideal.
It has. And, you know, by the lakes blowing open earlier, because we had some 30, 40-mile-an-hour gusts several weeks back, that the lakes were skimmed over and it blew it all open over and over. Well, it was good for the local lakes because now when it got really cold, they were able to freeze flat, but some of the lakes are rough. I went over to Winnie to check it out, and if you're on the south side and look out, it looks like a farm field, all lumpy and almost like just a mess. I mean, you're gonna shake the paint off your jigs going across that stuff. So hopefully we can get a little snow and then you can take a sled across it, you know. But in other parts of Winnie are flat, so the stuff that blew open and froze. Now when the ice breaks open from the wind, all the stuff that it blows ends up somewhere.
And, yeah,
you know, the problem is it's going to freeze. And Lake of the Woods, if you go on my Facebook site, you can see some of the photos up there. There's areas of Lake of the Woods that are just chunks of busted up ice, and you weave in and out of it. You know, there's not a lot of snow, so you can see what's what. And you know, the stuff that didn't chunk up or have a lot of ice froze flat. So but in the area, we have some really good ice forming, and everybody should just remember, because I went out and I looked all over the place, there were vent holes on every lake, including small ones, even little crappie lakes in the woods. You'd get almost to where the crappies are, wide open, standing on 6 inches of ice. And so now you can't tell where they are, you know, because we had a little spritz of snow. So a spud bar is still handy. If you got a machine, spud and drill, measure. I know some guys, I talked to Carl up at Black Duck, their Timberline, and he said a couple guys on four-wheelers, this was about 5-6 days ago, but they're out, they decided to spud, and it went through on one hammer. So you still got to check it. That's the thing about this time of year. It's a little more work, but all you got to do is drill and check your way there, and you could drive off, you know. So then the work's done, and if everybody does their part, we'll have all kinds of different ways to get out there safely. And lakes that just got their ice, like Bemidji, Cass, all these deeper lakes, they're going to be unilateral, so they're going to slowly freeze and make ice unilaterally. But if there's 2 feet of ice, you know, those late freezing spots that had the vent holes, you know there's going to be good ice there too. So once we get there, and that's just how it is. When it goes really fast and freezes really fast, it's like anything else. It still hasn't cooled.
What are you seeing as far as average ice depth right now?
I see a lot of 7 inches of ice. And even 8. And up at Red, there's 10. And I was up at Lake of the Woods, and I was on 10, and where I was at, and there was 2 inches, but it was marked, and you know, I was advised not to go over there, so I stay away from that stuff. But now, and that was before the big freeze, that was like a day before we went down to 6 below 0, and so I'm sure that's definitely walkable by now. But we've got great ice forming, and so last year we didn't have a lot of houses on Bemidji, which typically Bemidji will hold 450 houses every year. So there's quite a bit less pressure in the beginning winter, but late in the winter there's tremendous perch pressure. When I went out there, everything that typically holds perch in my guide spots were all opened and fished many times. So it doesn't take long to add the pressure up, but we didn't have to have a lot of houses, wasn't a lot of spearing, so that's a huge amount of walleyes and pike that stayed in the lake. And so you're going to see some really good fishing on Bemidji this winter. And being able to get around is a big thing for this year, especially starting out with such a strange year that everyone wants to see go away. It's nice having a good ice season. That's going to help the local businesses, and when you're out, make sure you stop in, If you're fishing around Cass, go to MD Pond and Bait. If you're fishing Bemidji, go to Northwoods. And don't just go in and buy wax worms. Come on. You know, with the price of gas being cheap, you still spend $20 or a lot more and buy some waxies, minnows, and some buckshot rattle spoons. But Timberline Sports and Black Duck, if you're heading up that way, make sure to, you know, just stop in, say hi, and buy a few things for the tackle box. Some glow shot spoons. That's been the best. And surprisingly, you know, I'm a fan of glow perch, which is a green and glow, but I got beat with the gold and silver spoons in an eighth ounce, and they have a little red light stick you put in them. But those were phenomenal last week, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to have to pick up some more because of the pike populations out there. But just great, great colors. That metallic gold and silver glow shot spoon is right at the top of the list for me right now. It's been really good. And then, obviously, glow red or pink tiger if you're going to Red Lake. And Lake of the Woods, it's gold, and pink tiger will be probably your best bets.
When you're out there, what depth does it have to be for you to feel comfortable?
Well, I like to have 4 inches of ice, no less. I'm a big guy, and I'm not going to go unless ice. That's the recommended ice, and the reason they recommend that is it'd be hard to go through if it's good solid ice. But if you're like the 2 or 3 inch ice walker, there's not a lot of leeway for mistakes, and you start chiseling away, you start moving, you hit a broken spot on the ice, it's a trap door. You know, you just go down and then it flips back up. How do you get back out? You know, so the real thing is 4 inches of ice on foot. I like, 6-7 inches of ice if I'm taking a snowmobile or just a saddle ATV for side-by-sides. I want 10 inches of ice. And I know 8 is good, but you don't know the consistency and the age of every spot that the ice is. And but up at Lake of the Woods, that 10 inches of ice, when they're pulling people out with their Chevy trackers and their Geo trackers, their 2 and 4 door trackers, the ice wasn't even moving, the water wasn't moving, so it was solid stuff. And then before you start taking a vehicle, if I'm going to take a 4 door truck, a regular 2 door, regular cab truck, I want at least 14 inches. But if you're taking the tar babies, the big heavy duty trucks, 18 to 20 inches, because that's a lot of weight. And and then don't go fast. There's a tendency for people to step on it and drive fast, and you can see the ice bowing under their vehicles as they're driving fast. It's not good for the ice. It kind of busts it up a little bit. But just, you know, drive in our area, people know ice, and we live in an area that there's some excellent fishermen and fisher ladies, and they know not to, you know, they know what and what not to do. But definitely driving fast on the ice, if, you know, because you want to get there fast. Well, you know, you've gone 60, 70 down the road, and now, you know, when you get to the ice, it's time to slow down and take your time. The fish ain't going anywhere.
How's the bite been?
The bite was, actually, it was excellent. The consistent weather, the bite has been super good. Red Lake was really good. Then it kind of died, not because of the pressure, just because of the weather. And it came back, and it was phenomenal. And in area lakes, it's more work getting out there and easier to catch. So it used to be get out there, and then you had to work hard to catch fish. No, there's no working hard to catch fish right now. It's about as easy as I've seen it in years. And one of the best early ice bites that I've seen. It doesn't matter where you go, the fish are biting. They do have their windows. Clear Lakes, and with the up and down weather now, it seems morning and evening have been best for fish. And I'd pit the morning against the evening, because there's many times we're getting there as the sun gets up, and I wish I was there a half hour earlier, and the fish are going bonkers until about 10, they shut off. And the lakes that have the daytime bites, you know, Lake of the Woods, Red Lake, not so much. Red Lake has been morning and evening, but you do get fish during the day because it is one of those lakes. The Lake of the Woods, banker's hours. That's why everybody loves it. Where do you catch fish all day long? Lake of the Woods.
Yeah. And I tell you, it doesn't seem to matter the pressure that gets on that lake. It just keeps cranking it out anyway.
Well, yeah, and like Red Lake, the res side has, that's like a refuge for the fish, so to speak. And then Lake of the Woods, the same. The big bay is where everybody fishes. And by the time everybody can, you know, eventually they punch a road to Garden Island. And the DNR this year, to help out the resorts, I'm hearing is going to maintain a road to the angle because we can't go through Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, if they do that, support those resorts up there. I plan on, if I can, I'd like to go up there and give them some business because the fishing up there is fun. The big bay and the big basin that we have is where the big fish seem to be. Once you get past Garden Island, it's an eater place. You know, there's lots of 14 to 17 inchers and then the occasional 20 to 23, but most of your big fish are on the in the basin. And I truly think that the old-fashioned way, using snowmobiles, is the best way to go. Four-wheelers, not all the time. If you get a flat year where you can get around, yes. But snowmobiles, getting away from the roads, because Lake of the Woods is full of big fish. And in the summertime, the schools of fish will be mile and a half long in many schools of them. In the wintertime, they punch the roads and they get a few fish, but you don't see all them big ones all the time. And so I truly think that once the roads are in, you'll get a few fish, but those big schools of big walleyes avoid that stuff. So if you go off on your own, definitely check, but stay near snowmobile trails, but do your own thing and get off the road or use the road as a base camp if you're going to go up there. If you truly want to get some big fish, I think most of your fish are staying clear of that traffic. And you got a big open basin, giant basin, and there's one little scratch that going down the middle that's super noisy all the time. Get away from that, and you're probably gonna put some bigger fish up on the ice. And they tend to be hard to see right away. I'm using a Humminbird 360 now, which is, you'd all know what side imaging is, and you can see fish to the side, but I could drop this transducer down and let it sit for a little bit, and you could see fish in a complete circle around you. And it really shows walleyes really well. And I used it last winter on Mille Lacs, going down there on the mud flats, and you could watch the fish coming through and adjust or drill holes all around, and you can meet them at a hole. It's kind of neat. Technology has really gotten crazy good. But still, you got to do your work. You got to get out there and drill some holes. And if you just want to fish, just go hold a hole and fish. Just make sure you got, you know, the buckshot, glow shot spoons. And Lake of the Woods is a dead stick paradise. Make sure you have the glow shot jig because it has a single hook, or an eyeball jig, and tail hook a fathead or a rainbow if you can get them, or a frozen shiner, and put a dead stick down. You'll be surprised. That dead stick will fire off quite a bit. Just put it 4 to 5 inches off the bottom, and you're going to get the lethargic fish to kind of hang down. And then you can go out and jig. So the key things, buckshot flutter spoon, the original buckshots, and then even a little Gamakatsu pink hook or red hook with a split shot sometimes is a real key thing to try.
This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. Brian Bro's all my guests. Got a ton more to cover with Bro next. This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. I'm Kev Jackson. My guest today, Brian Brosdahl. We're talking ice fishing. Of course we are. You guide ice fishing, or you just do that for fun?
Not as much as open water. Open water is my main thing. I do a lot of promotion, and I do take guide trips if it works out in the schedule. But definitely, if you want to go, we'll go. And last year, the ice was horrible. We had deep water that was over your boot kind of depth on the lakes, and it was pretty much, it wasn't really safe. The few trips I took, people were falling in, down in, like up to their hip, and I had one guy fall, a young guy, and he couldn't get back up because he pushed down on his arms, and he felt trapped like he doing the snow angel, and I had to reach down and grab him by the collar to lift him up because he couldn't get up. He put his hand down, and he couldn't reach down to the ice. That's how deep the snow and the was, and after that, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to call some of my old clients and have them, but it was hilarious. I think I laughed for about 10 minutes after that, but he couldn't get out, help himself get up.
So describe what an ice fishing trip, and you know, we know when you go guiding, you meet your guide, you hop in the boat, and you go find fish. How does it work on an ice fishing trip?
Ice fishing trip, well, it's different from guide to guide, but with me, I'll have the best bite we have going. So if crappies aren't going to be a good thing to go for, and we'll go for perch or whatever we can get action, and then we'll go for walleyes. And we head to a spot where we could try to get some walleyes at about 2 o'clock because we have to get there about 3, and they're already biting. You're like, wow, I should have been here an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then some nights you get there early and you don't see a fish for 2 hours, but you just never know. And so we start with one fish and finish off with another fish because between the two of them, we're not going to zero. We shouldn't zero. I mean, they're natural creatures, but I like to, you know, try different stuff. It makes the day go faster and people have more fun. And I don't want a real big groups. I just want, you know, a handful of people. That way we can move around. And if I have 3 or 4 people, I spread them out. You know, it's not very social. And I did this before this year, you know, before the distancing. I spread people out. If there's structures close by within a couple hundred feet of each other, I'll have them on their own. And so that's how I can, you know, have stacked the odds in my favor by spreading out my clients. And then I pinwheel around and I try stuff. And typically I'll start them where I know they can catch fish. And then I'm always looking because there's only so many fish down there, and eventually it ends, so I'm always trying to find the next bite, you know, the next good holes to put them in. And then we switch spots, and that's a good time as we're driving to another lake or another part of the lake for them to have their sandwich, and then we'll finish up on a spot. And I like to, if I got a good walleye spot, I'll put a house out, and a hard house like a skid house or a wheelhouse, and that way, when I leave at dark, they're not getting punished. They can stay a little later and just lock it up themselves, you know. And I've had, you get someone from Texas or something, and they came all that way and they flew. I don't want to make them leave the ice right at prime time. And I had one guy stay out there till 2 a.m. and catch another 8 fish from Texas. And he didn't even fish in the house, but just having a home base for his buddies to be in and to heat it thing. So it, and it's nice, too. It's my exit strategy when I want to leave. Okay, guys, I'm going to start heading home. So yeah. Having a hard house is nice. You can't leave portables on the ice.
Right. So this year, of course, it started out crazy. There was no guiding for a few weeks. But once it got going, it sounded like most guides ended up having a pretty good year.
It was. I actually lost out on quite a few corporate trips, and the corporate trips are actually a lot of fun. It, and you know, a lot of times ends up being a little tournament in the boat, you know, between the different boats and guide boats. And so basically all the corporate trips are all dried up, and you know, there's a lot of us who had corporate trips. So some guys did better than others. You know, if a guide never had more than 40 trips in a year, no matter what he said, it might have been a better year for him. But for the people who had week-long corporate trips or 3-day corporate trips for the last 10 or 15 years, it was kind of tough.
Sure.
You lose, that's hard to replace, and they're gone. And then you'll pick up other trips, and everybody got busy. But that beginning when we were closed, missed out on crappie, and I missed out on the early walleye. It was more like 3 weeks. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen again. But it was good good summer for everybody. Everybody got to stay busy in a boat. We're about as safe as you could be. We're outside. And if somebody had a little tickle in their throat, they're coughing. Well, they're downwind. That boat turns and they're downwind the rest of the day. I'm not going to be downwind to them.
Right.
So, even if their mind's into the boat, they're downwind. And it was good. I can say, though, I'd rather have a normal year and sure. get some of these nice groups and individuals. I even had some families cancel that, I wouldn't even call them clients, friends, that actually hire me for 4 or 5 days, and we just enjoy fishing, and they're not out to, you know, fill their freezers with meat. They'll take a couple meals of fish, but they come typically every year, so I lost all that. I lost all that feed and seed groups that would bring their farmers and their, so yeah, it was, that's not good. And I know a few other guys that you start building up that, and it's hard to replace it even with just call-ins during the day. So, but outside of that, it was a good year considering
yeah.
the way it started. I didn't know, do I hand my keys to the banker or throw them at him? I didn't know.
And I do know that we sold more licenses, and there's a lot of guides told me they saw a lot of people out fishing this year. Are we seeing the same kind of thing in the ice fishing season?
Yeah, we are, and it was great to see that. And there's more people fishing, and it's healthier. And some people are just getting reintroduced to fishing again, you know, and some are starting to fish. They just want to learn how to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some... But I had some really cool bookings last year. I had a family from Maryland come up, and it was a young couple, and they were at the Mayo for health reasons, and they wanted to come on a guide trip with me. They wanted to go with me, and they came, and they brought one of their kids with them, and we just absolutely hammered the walleyes, and so I was so happy. And so a trip that was kind of sad for them, if you're going to the Mayo, there's stuff going on, but turned out great. And so there's some cool things like that, but they want to get into fishing more, and that's a long drive, so I wanted to do well for them. And just everybody seemed to enjoy the resources. The lakes were super busy, I thought. Even, in the spring crappie parts, that's how you can kind of gauge things. On lakes that have good spring crappie bites, typically there'll be a half a dozen to a dozen people. But, you know, in some of those spots, there was 40 to 60, 70 boats now in just about all those spots. So that's probably not good. But it's good to have everybody out there fishing. And, hunting, I think the deer hunting was a little slower. But as far as grouse and everything else, just outdoor activities picked up, and I like it. I like to see people getting out and having fun, and the lakes were really busy this year, and that's good.
That is really good. So typically this time of year, other than getting some ice fishing for fun and doing a few ice fishing trips, what are the things that keep you busy, bro, between now and when the water gets soft again?
Well, I have College of Ice is a internet show that we're doing kind of in between the Bro Road Show, where I go to all the stores and visit and mm-hmm. do seminars and meet and greet people, and I've been doing that one for close to 20 years. Well, this year, you know, if I'm carrying around something, I don't want to cough on people. We had to come up with something, and through Frable Marketing and all my sponsors, we decided to do College of Ice. It's just, you know, you learn stuff, and it's an internet show, and I'm getting it produced by Steve Panaz and another internet guru, Kai. We've done 11 episodes, and you can watch College of Ice. You can watch every episode. Just go back, go to Frable online, or go to Brian Bro Brostall, and you can see all the old episodes.
Okay.
On my website or on YouTube, and we want to have a guest. And then industry, like we've had Humminbird on there. We're going to have Northland on there. We've got factory people from ice fishing. We talk about ice conditions around Minnesota, New York, and we've had guests talking about fishing out west, ice fishing for jumbo perch, not just Cascade, Idaho. There's lots of places in trout and then towards the East Coast, New York, as well as Minnesota. We had Carl Adams on there and talked about local, what's going on. And we've had Kevin Van Dam on there, and he ice fishes, believe it or not.
Really?
So that was a great interview. And then we had Cuz Strickland from Mossy Oak was on. And how does this all come in? It was just funny having a guy from Mississippi talking about ice. So it was an odd fit, but it was very hilarious. And so just something. And so we've been doing that, and that's not just to show up and press the button. That's an all-day affair there to get that thing going. But College of Ice is a one-hour show. Definitely check it out. It's casual, and we talk about ice, and you can win prizes. But it was so popular, we only had one episode left, and we've extended it into January because of the showing that we've had. So
great.
It's a fun little project. And then between that, Midwest Outdoors and podcasts and radio shows, I might, most of the time, I'm not getting to fish a whole day. And when I am fishing, I've got to shoot for the sponsors. I've already had at least a dozen photo shoots, and we've had ice for maybe 2 weeks. And I've been actually ice fishing for three. But fishing, where the duck hunters couldn't get their boats in anymore, that stuff that froze up early, that's the stuff I'm fishing. It's not always the best fishing, but there's something to be caught there. And that's where I start shallow lakes. There's a lot of them in the area, and some of them have fish populations that are pretty good.
Typically, I know you do a few shows in the off season, but that probably is not happening again this year, I would guess.
No, not this year. Talking with marketing and stuff, there's a liability for me to go in and make everybody sick if I'm carrying something. So. I can't wait to get this over with because I'm a people person. I like to see and look at people I talk to, and I have friends all over the Midwest and the country that I go to stores, and I want to support that part of my sponsors. I want to help them, you know, and just be there with the people. If you go to a store in Minneapolis, they appreciate it. If you go to a store in, you know, Detroit or Southern Michigan or Dakotas, they really appreciate it, Iowa, and it sounds like a lot of work and a hassle. It's not. It's actually fun to do a seminar and show them what great Northland stuff I like to use and what rods and reels and AquaViews, and so a little bit of that. But turning it from the shows, how do you keep out there? Well, you know, you add up the number of people you meet in going into the stores, and then you add up how many this show is affected, and this is huge numbers. It's kind of cool to something different. And even though, you know, once everything's back to normal, I can go back in the stores, I'll probably still be doing this College of Ice because it turned out really well, and it's good to keep people in the know, and then also talk about where you could buy, you know, buckshots, what's the specials, and if we have a store and they run deals. And we've had, as a local one, we've had Timberline Sports on there, and we've had big stores and shops, Cabela's Bass Pro Shops and Frank's Great Outdoors and Marine General, and then some other Twin Cities outlets, and where you can get the stuff. And, you know, so it's kind of well-rounded, I think, and not just, you know, here's a fish, pull it through the hole and show it and then drop it. You know, it's more than that. And but then I've been doing that on another scale, shooting, you know, Buzz Ice, Buzz TV. And if you look up Angling Buzz Ice, I did a show with Nick there, and then so it's been going. I don't know what I don't even look at my schedule from day to day because I'd have a heart attack. You know, just look at it one day at a time, 2 days maybe.
He's got me beat. I'm working one segment at a time. And the third and final segment is up next. This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. You mentioned being a people person. I think that's kind of what I really enjoyed about doing this show over the years. All the people I talk to, most people who do this for a living, they are people. They're people people. They like being with people. They like to share their passion. They like to teach people. And it's really, really enjoyable just for me to talk to those people. And so when you don't get that face-to-face, it's got to be pretty tough.
Oh, it is, and I still see so many people right now from, a social distance, because you still have to keep living, and it's surprising how many people you meet just in a short visit to a gas station or in your shooting and travels. Our area, like, for instance, in the town I'm near, I don't want to say the name, there's a small town here that really got infected bad. And you just avoid everything,
yeah,
because you don't know what that stuff does to you. If sniffle, or is it devastating? But anyway, we had it pretty much made all summer, all the way into fall, and then oh boy, it really hit hard. Going from not knowing anybody that had it to knowing almost everybody, just about quite a few people had it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an odd year, and I'm glad we're getting past it, and hopefully all those vaccines work so we can get back to the normal. But I don't want people to stop fishing just because they're going to get busy again. Stay fishing and keep the outdoors as part of their legacy of their family, and I think it's important to pass on the sport.
Yes.
Definitely.
It is important. It's healthy. Unless you experience it, I guess you don't understand what joy there is in just being out there, even if you don't catch a lot of fish.
Well, yeah, and the lucky thing, if you live in the Brainerd area, Lakes, Bemidji, Longville, or wherever you live, if you live, on the edge of Duluth, you're going to have great ice, and you got great fisheries that people drive from far, far away just to have a few hours or a few days to fish. So we're super spoiled up here, and we know we got it good, and it's one of those things that it's in our blood up here is to fish and hunt, and even tournaments are fun, and the tournaments are different. It's just go out there and try to win, and it's tough in this area because everybody's got so much experience in the waters where they have them. It's you have to have better than the best. The biggest bags every year. It's the bigger than you'd ever imagine. You just shake your head like, how could that happen? And it's just fun. So, it's fishing can be as simple as you want to make it. And ice fishing is tremendously popular because here you don't need a boat. You can walk out there, and you can walk out on the lake. Of course, safety equipment, but we won't go in too much about that. But safety equipment and 4 inches of ice. You can walk out there with a bucket and a chisel and a variety of Northland tackle. Now, if you want to fish more and more pro, add electronics, a Humminbird Helix, add an AquaView so you can see what's below, and then an auger. An auger's, I don't even know anybody that's using a gas auger anymore. Maybe some of my relatives, but I know up at Lake of the Woods, they still have the old Warhorse great big augers, but everybody's got an electric auger now. And there's a new one coming on, Razor. You can look up Razor, but without the O-R. It's R-A-Z-R.
Okay.
I signed up with them because they have these little scout augers. You put them on your drill that you have in your garage, brushless hammer drill, whether it's Milwaukee, DeWalt, Makita, whatever. You put it in there, and they're super light. And we had one battery, a Milwaukee hammer drill, with a large battery, had 90 holes on it through 6 inches of ice, and we never wore it out.
Wow.
That's how many we drilled in a day on a clicker, 90 holes on that. So that was on a 6-inch bit. But, get multiple bits. I like to drill smaller holes searching. You don't need, in the tournaments, they'll drill just a small enough hole to drop a camera down to look for fish, to drop a transducer down.
Yeah.
And when you find fish, then you change the chuck. You hold the chuck, unscrew it, slap in the 8-inch drill, and you're set. So it's just like changing out regular drills when you're woodworking. So it's kind of neat, and we're seeing more people using multiple drill bits, and they're super light. On Razor, I have, if you want to check out and drill a huge amount of holes, you put a 4-inch bit. When you find the fish, slap the big one in there and drill a big hole. You could, even though you can pull a lot of fish through a 6-inch hole, some people like a bigger hole.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. They're just making life easier and easier for us.
It makes it easier, but, you know, one thing, too, I'm not a fan of volcanoes, and we all know what those are. When you're drilling a hole and people just drill and lift it up, and they got volcanoes, and you can see volcanoes from outer space. So if you're trying to protect the spot, don't leave volcanoes. And every single hole that I drill, whether it's a small hole, big hole, 100 holes, every one of them's flat. Because even if there's, you know, the only time I leave holes is if I leave kind of a bait and switch kind of area. If I want to get people to go somewhere, I'll make volcanoes. And that's a magnet. For outer staters, if they see volcanoes, they're on it like wolves on a deer carcass. And so if I have a good spot, I ain't leaving volcanoes.
Gotcha.
So I almost break out in hives when I see people leaving volcanoes. You know, if they get lucky enough to find your spot, or if they have a really cool spot, the one thing you don't want to do is leave volcanoes. So when you drill, your drill goes through, you can spin in a circle, kick the slush away, and then rev it up. You got to make sure you got dry boots. But with today's, you know, with the Frabel I3 suits and the boots I have, I just drill a hole, kick the slush away. I don't think I even know where my scoops are. I don't use scoops anymore. Kick your foot down the hole and slap the slush away. And if there's a little slush in there, it's good because it stops light penetration. But
sure.
When I do have guests that come and they'll start scooping the holes, I'm like, you don't need to do that. And then I'll kick some more slush in the hole. Slush is just, you're going to catch more fish if you block that light from coming down. That light that's penetrating through the hole actually, is not good in most situations for catching fish. With clear lakes and zebra mussels, I'll actually, the drills drill them so clean, I actually kick snow back in them just to block some sunlight. And all you got to do is be able to get that lure down there and your transducer in the hole. And it's not going to stop the fish from coming up. So messy holes are nice, but no volcanoes.
Okay. And speaking of, you have a lot of sponsors. Besides what we've already mentioned, any other fun little toys coming out in the next year or so we should be looking for?
Well, yeah, in the Humminbird line, you know, they have 360 on the ice, and 360s existed for many years. You see everything around you, but now it has chirp technology, and they have a carriage so you can use it on the ice, and you could hook it up to an 8, 9, or 10-inch, and you can see the fish around, and it's a radar. It moves slow, and it's a radar, but they got some other stuff coming out late winter that I'm going to be playing with, and I'll probably have to talk to you then because I can't say anything about it now.
Oh, okay.
And then AquaView, their Micro Revolution 5 with the reel on the back, you could drop the camera down, look for fish or look for green weeds, and then reel it back up. Now, that's existed, but they've just improved so much that it's just amazing. Or if you're in a fish house, you can get an HD camera so you can hook it up to a big screen TV, and that's super popular with a little inverter. So all you get is a camera, the inverter, and you're ready to go. If you got a wheelhouse, if you're got a glacial whatever wheelhouse you have, Yeti, it's just great for having so everybody can see, put that down a hole. And they have a quad cam a four-panel one that you can see four different directions. That's pretty neat. But I would say Northland Tackle has the best with that. The glow shot spoons, that whole lineup has been really good. The eyeball spoons and the punch flies have been, they're great stocking stuffers with Dubrow, and it's no relation to me, but a company named Dubrow, D-U-B-R-O.
Okay.
They have rod racks. So if you got that fishing friend or someone you know that is just unorganized, buy it for them and do them a favor. And you could buy these rod loops and racks you can put on the walls, and you can put them in your vehicle. You can hang them on the wall in your garage or in your house. Great for organization and keeping your rods safe from getting stepped on or bumped into. So Dubrow has that. And they have simple things like a little bottle spooler that you stick in a drill, and you can take all the line off your reels when you're doing that kind of stuff. Cool little knickknacks. And then Gamakatsu, they're legendary for plain hooks. Almost everybody in the area uses the walleye wide gap for using pulling chubs and red tails, but their octopus style neon colored hooks are super cool for using on dead sticks. But they have a whole bunch of other stuff. Micro wide gap type of hooks, but in a micro size, so you could use on crappie minnows for crappies. Just a lot of neat stuff. Look up the catalog at Gamakatsu, and there's a lot of stuff that just fits our style of fishing. You know, dead sticking with a wax worm. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you can use at Gamakatsu, and but definitely. And then Vrabel, their Magnum bait station, won at ICAST, won an award at 2 years in a row. So the Magnum bait stations, you'll see them at all the bait shops. They have them at the local bait shops. Magnum bait station, 13, 19, and 30 quart. And then new nets. They even have super ultralight graphite net coming out it's amazingly light. I just got it in. I just can't wait to use it. It's so light. And their net designs are pretty cool, off the charts. And then they also have houses. Speaking of mossy oak, the Frabel houses this year have mossy oak on them. Really cool aqua design and super warm. So a lot of stuff that might not fit in the stocking, but be a great gift. Okay. Talk to your retailers, because stuff isn't going to last. And if you're thinking about an auger, Razor Augers is on the scene now and drills twice as many holes as any other auger on the market in their lithium 40 volt.
Wow.
So something to check out. And they're just about, everything's just about sold out. It's one of those years of fishing so popular that you want to get on the stuff early and pick what you want and make it happen. Because I know even wheelhouses, from talking to some of the manufacturers, they're behind for months, you know, on orders just to catch up. So
wow.
Just one of those years. And if you want a snowmobile for ice fishing, I'd go down there today if you can find one.
Right. How long have you been doing this now?
Oh, I've been doing this for over 20 years, about 24 years. I had my first cash sponsorship, and it's just amazing. And I never knew how long it was going to last, and I never considered myself a pro. I'm just a person that likes to fish, but sometimes you mold into that person. You don't even know you're doing it, and I don't even know. When I'm at a store, I'm not looking at the clock. I'm just enjoying myself, or if I'm on the ice with people,
mm-hmm.
you just don't even know. Next thing you know, the sun is setting, you're like, that day went by fast.
Well, if you can do that for a living, that's a good thing.
It is. I'd rather be a promotional side than a tournament side, because you're only as good as how you did.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
And they're really good. I fished the FLW Walleye Tour, and when it first came, the FLW Walleye League to Minnesota, That was a blast. And you don't even know you're doing it. You just go out and compete. And I'm like, this is great. You know, you just spend a little bit of money, make a lot more. And I got Angler of the Year when the league was here from Minnesota. And I thought, this is easy stuff. Did the FLW Walleye Tour. And no matter how close I got third places and third. I'm king of third and fourth place for some reason. It's consistent, but I'd be so close to the win, and it's just a matter of this or that. But it was very enjoyable, and it's an excuse to go to places you've never been before and learn it like a guide. I mean, that's an excuse to catch a lot of fish in a short amount of time.
Sure. All right. Well, bro, if people are planning their summer already, how do they get lined up with you?
Oh, just go to brosguideservice.com and shoot me a note. I'd love to take you in my Ranger boat.
Awesome. And once again, how do we find the show to watch? The College of Angling?
It's College of Ice.
College of Ice. Okay.
It's going to be streaming on Frable or at Brian Bro Brosdahl or at my YouTube page. And you'll be able to find it as soon as you type it in. There's 11 episodes. You can watch them all. And, yes, we had Kevin Van Dam, and we had Strickland on there. So really cool. And other people from around the area, Carl Adams. So if you have any questions, just ask him if you're in Black Duck. And it's a fun show, and we're doing this for you to distract you and something interesting to watch on the Wednesday nights. The next one's next Wednesday.
All right. Brian Bro Brosdahl, my guest today on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. Great friend of the show. We love having him on. It's always a pleasure. Bro, have yourself a very Merry Christmas, and thank you for taking the time today.
Yeah, you have a Merry Christmas, and everybody get out and have fun. This is going to be an exceptional year, and be safe.
Next week is Christmas Eve. The week after is New Year's Eve. So this is it for this year. We'll be back with new shows in 2021. Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors has been sponsored by Clearbrook Electric, Timberline Sport and Convenience in Black Duck, Pepsi Nye Bottling, Bonded Lock and Key, your home for Liberty Safes, Ace on the Lake, and DS Beverages, Paul Bunyan Country's distributor of Anheuser-Busch. I'm Kev Jackson. Again, have a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.